Is this on? We're good? Great. So before I start into the sermon, there's a story behind this board that I have to share. So I'm a like handy person. I can build things and use hammers and nails and whatnot. But when it comes to building, I'm not the best planner, and that's actually true about me in general in life, not the best planner. So yesterday I go to Lowe's, pick up the board, get it cut down to size so that it'll be nice and big for everybody to use, haul it out to my car, get to my car, I look at my trunk, then I look at my board, trunk, board. I'm like, there's no way this is fitting into my car, my little sedan. And so then I'm like, who can I call? Who has a big car? But I'm also kind of embarrassed that I didn't think this through. And so then I just decide, okay, I'm going to put it beside my my car. I'm going to go back into Lowe's and go grab some rope. And I'm just going to tie it to the top of a car. And as I'm like sliding the wood, a woman and her husband come up to me and she goes, excuse me, what are you going to do with that board? And I was like, I'm just, you know, I really, because of my pride, I was really trying to pass it off as I totally know what I'm doing. I'm just going to, you know, lash it onto the roof of my car, no big deal. And she's like, where are you going? I'm like, just up the road back to my house. It's really not far away. It'll be great. And she goes, do you want us to just lash it onto the back of our truck and we can take it there for you? I was like, actually, yes. Thank you so much. So she's like, I need to run in and go grab a few things. Do you mind waiting? I'm like, of course not. So she goes in and her husband and I like load up the piece of wood. And he's asking me, what is this for? I'm like, this is for a sermon. He's like, oh, that's funny, because I build churches. And we get to talking about all the churches he's built. And it turns out he built the Foundry, which is the building. Yeah, right? So out of nowhere, the man who built the Foundry, out of the kindness of his heart, offered to help me move this piece of wood. Completely out of their way, completely got nothing out of it. And so that his wife comes back, he follows me to my house and unloads the wood, and I thank him profusely. So we not only have Doug Griffin to thank for the Foundry, but also for the sermon today. So just shout out to him. Not only that, but we also have to thank Janine Simmons for loading this on top of the van and driving while holding onto the board. It's like bungee corded and whatnot, but we didn't bungee cord the front. So she's like holding it down and making sure it doesn't like break in half. So also shout out to Janine. So a lot of effort went into getting this board here. Justin and Matt had to like scramble to figure out how to keep it up. So forgive me for my poor planning skills. So going in today, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. Most of y'all know I've been sick for over a year and a half now, and most Sundays I can hardly stand. I'm like hardly conscious during the sermons due to pain, and I'm usually barreling out of here right afterwards to go rest. So the fact that I'm standing here today and able to preach is nothing less than a miracle. So praise God for that. I also wasn't sure how I would feel today because this is my last sermon for a while. I'm gone next weekend, and the weekend after that is my last Sunday here. And while I am excited to go to seminary and start this new adventure, to continue working with the bakery and see it grow as Ellen takes on our baking, and I kind of oversee from afar, nothing makes me sadder than leaving this community. From the moment I came here, one fateful snowstorm 6.5 years ago, from the moment that I entered this theater and sat right over there, to this moment now, standing here on the stage, I have loved this church. deeply. And so, yeah, so nothing makes me sadder than to leave this community. I will miss y'all, and I'm so excited to see what God is going to do through us as a church in these coming months and years. So before we get into the sermon, let's start with prayer. Father God, just pray that you would be with us this morning. Open our eyes and ears, open our hearts, that we might hear your word and be convicted, be encouraged. Give us hope in all that you do. Pray that anything, that these words would be your words, and that anything that is not of you would fall on deaf ears. Help us this morning. Lead us this morning. And it's in your Son's mighty name we pray. Amen. So this summer we've been going through the sermon series, Walking in Step with the Spirit. We as a church have felt this push to pause, to wait, as the Holy Spirit prepares us for this next stage of life as this church. It's been like a deep breath before the plunge. So we've learned that walking in step with the Spirit is like a dance where the Holy Spirit leads and we follow. Those are my dance moves right there. So whether you're a good dancer or a bad dancer, it's okay. The Holy Spirit's got the lead. You're good. We've learned that walking in step with the Spirit isn't about striving, it's about being obedient and being faithful to God. It's about when the Holy Spirit fills us, we bear fruits of the Spirit. And it's about the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts that complement our passions, our abilities, our personalities, and our experiences. Because God has called us, each and every one of us, to a specific purpose. We're pieces of a puzzle working together to be his kingdom here on earth. And so we are all important to that. We all bring something to the table. And so today, I'd like, this is not going to be a typical sermon that I give. These are more some parting words and some hopes for this church. So forgive me if it's a little different. But today I would like to reinforce the fact that it's not just about being faithful to God, which is important, absolutely, but also being faithful to one another. So when Matt asked me to preach, I asked him, do you have a specific verse in mind, or are we just going with like whatever the Holy Spirit brings up? It's like whatever the Holy Spirit brings up. I'm like, awesome, that's not vague at all. So I prayed and I thought, and the only thing that kept coming up was a sticky note from 5 years ago that I don't even have anymore. I'm like, thanks, God, that's not vague at all either. Fortunately, I do remember the sticky note. The sticky note came from during our second year anniversary. Matt preached about, we were going through a sermon series called Mosaic, talking about Moses. And at the end of this particular sermon, he said that the future of this church is not going to come from up here. It's not going to come from the pastors. It's going to come from y'all, from the members of this church. He said, what are your wildest dreams, your craziest hopes, your impossible ways to love Chapel Hill with the heart of Jesus? We each had a sticky note, and he asked us to write those down and put them onto the board. So my sticky note had a vision that I had had a few months earlier of what it would look like for us as a church to love Chapel Hill with the heart of Jesus. In the center was the Holy Spirit. And then there was an outer ring that embodied the church. Because we're all connected by the Holy Spirit. We're united as one. Because there's one Holy Spirit that connects each and every one of us. And then outside of that were these kind of like mind map, different ways that we can love, not just each other, but our town, our communities. Things like food banks and housing and computer literacy classes, financial literacy classes, transitional employment, cultural expression and art, civil rights and social and economic change. So pretty ambitious things, but some of them quite small. It could be as simple as bringing food to someone who has just lost a loved one or is sick, or as complicated as a transitional employment bakery. So, and then at the bottom of that sticky note, as like a side note, I said, oh, by the way, Made with Love Bakery. Completely like an afterthought. So this was 5 years ago. Just a sketch on a piece of sticky note. And now, today, we just launched Made with Love Bakery. All thanks to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's been incredible to see how God has moved and been so incredibly faithful to that dream. So incredibly just, he has provided for everything, every single step of the way, in ways I never saw coming. And a lot of times I would get frustrated and find myself just almost pulling things back. And I can really attribute every step forward, every leap forward we've had is not because of me, but because of God, because of the ways that he's provided for us. So your craziest dreams, your wildest hopes, and your impossible ways to love this town can actually happen. The Holy Spirit does impossible things through us if we're faithful and obedient to God and to one another. So this vision, this idea, all came out of a time, basically a few months earlier, time where I was depressed and just downtrodden. I was I had briefly contemplated dropping out of college. I was burnout, tired. I was what I would describe a pile of ashes. But a friend reminded me recently that ashes are incredibly fertile soil, and some of the most beautiful things grow from ashes. So if you find yourself in a place where you are downtrodden, you're desperate, you're heartbroken, know that God frequently reverses that story and brings beautiful things out of tragedies. Incredible, impossible things out of tragedies. So right during this period, I was reading an article talking about justice, and I came across the story of a man named John Perkins. He was a pastor. Well, he was just a black man in Mendenhall, Mississippi. And at the age of 16, his older brother was shot by a white marshal. And he left the town and vowed never to return. And then he became a Christian. And God called him back to that city. So he started up rural Bible studies and literacy programs. He eventually grew and built a community center where they had Bible studies, but also tutoring programs and lunch programs and even a leadership training program for teenagers. And by the end of the decade, Perkins had helped organize some 30 agricultural and economic cooperatives throughout the state. Then during the 1969 Christmas holidays. He was a part of a boycott of a shopping center at Minden Hall, and he was arrested and beaten. And during that time, while he was hospitalized for a prolonged period, he came to the realization that there is no hope in violence. Violence gets nowhere. But only the love of Jesus Christ could save his city. And so they started a foundation to help raise money for college tuition for youth who otherwise couldn't afford it. They then helped give loans to black enterprises to help businesses flourish. They formed Housing Renewal in Jackson, Mississippi, and it became a movement that looked at the whole person, a holistic look at not just spirit, but physical and emotional well-being. He went on to found the Christian Community Development Association, and his movement inspired the movement of Shane Claiborne and Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, and thousands actually across the country. Looking at not just loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but also loving your neighbor as yourself in a way that's very physical and very real, tangible. And as we heard last Sunday from Dr. Edwards, this is another case where a tragic murder turned into a transformational movement. And so what we found was that John Perkins took heart in a passage in Ephesians where Paul says, be subject to one another. And when we talk about be subject to one another, subject in this case is really referencing a king and subject relationship, where the king would protect the subject, provide for the subject, but the subject would serve the king in a way that is humble, in a way that is brave. So when Paul says be subject to one another, it's how can we serve one another in humility and grace? How can we love one another? Both of us together, united, because I belong to you and you belong to me. We are a church family here. We're a community united by the Holy Spirit as one. Because Jesus' prayer for us as a church, as the church, like capital C church, all of the churches that are meeting here, are not just here, but across the world. His prayer for us at the Last Supper would be that we would be one, united, together. Despite our differences and our and embracing our diversity, loving one another. Because he said that they will know you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Be humble and be bold. And in a time we look around and our world is coming to a boiling point. We live in a time when black men aren't even given the right to be arrested, but are being shot in the street. In a time when cops, in turn, are being shot in the street. In a time when gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people fear getting shot in the places they seek refuge. In a time where fear builds walls everywhere it can, and hate draws lines everywhere fear missed. In those times, in these times, love has the courage and indeed the duty to climb those walls and cross those lines. And only the love of Jesus Christ can do that. Violence isn't the answer. How do we end the cycle of hate and fear? We be subject to one another. Be subject to one another. Serve one another. Do not be silent when you see injustice. Be brave and be humble. That is my hope for this church, that we would love bravely and humbly. So my question to you, I'll reiterate Matt's second year anniversary kind of proposal, knowing that, again, the future of this church isn't going to come from up here, isn't going to come from our pastors. It's going to come from each and every one of y'all, because we need each and every one of y'all to love Chapel Hill with the heart of Jesus, because you each have gifts and a purpose and a calling to love Chapel Hill or anywhere you go with the heart of Jesus. So how do you want to love Chapel Hill with the heart of Jesus? What are your wildest dreams, your craziest hopes, your impossible ways to love people? Because, again, the future of this church is in what you do. Where is the Holy Spirit calling you? How do you want to love Chapel Hill with the heart of Jesus? Yeah, Michelle. Amen. Amen to that. It can be hard to do, but that is exactly right. Amen to that. So whatever your dreams are, whatever your hopes are, whether they be as small as, well, and as big as giving a meal to a friend who's lost someone or is sick, or as big and as crazy as a transitional employment bakery that you're not qualified to do. Write it down on your sticky note, and when you come up for communion, put it on the board. And if you don't have a sticky note, there are sticky notes and pens up here, so feel free to grab them. Feel free to put more than one dream on the board. And let's see where the Holy Spirit takes us. That this deep breath before the plunge leads to a plunge. So let's end in prayer before we do communion. Father God, we just thank you for the ways that you have led us so far, for this church, for these people who are loving Chapel Hill with the heart of Jesus, for your boldness and your creativity. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and giving us that courage. Thank you for the ways that you give us strength and hope. And thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen.
It describes the last night of Jesus around the table with his disciples, and it says, having loved them completely, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And then we have this picture of Jesus getting on his hands and knees and washing the feet of his disciples. That's what love looks like. He shows us that, the full extent of his love. In the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that while they're gathered around the table, he gives them another picture of just how far his love is willing to go. And just like Allison challenged us, it's tied up in this idea of submission and surrender and willingly giving himself away for us. He took the bread that was on the table. And he broke it. And he said, "This bread represents my body that is broken for you, so that you might be healed." He took the cup on the table. And he said, "This cup represents the blood of the new covenant, my blood being poured out for the salvation of the world. Whenever you share this meal together, remember what I have done. Remember the full extent of my love, a love that gives itself away, a love that sacrifices itself for the sake of others." It's through the death of Jesus Christ that we receive salvation. It's through his broken body and poured out blood that we are made new. And it's through his resurrection from the dead that he conquers all. He invites us to share in the celebration of that meal together as his family. We are his family. And if today you want to embrace what Jesus Christ has done for you, the sacrifice of his death, the broken body, and the poured out blood, then we invite you to come to his table. All are welcome at his table. All are welcome at his table. If you want to embrace that today, then we invite you to come forward. In just a moment, we're going to have a station on this side. We're only going to do this side today. And as you come forward, you'll tear off a piece of the bread. And as we like to say, don't tear off a little tiny piece. There are no crumbs in the kingdom, all right? Tear off a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, taste and see that the Lord is good. Bring your post-it note with you and put it on the board. And this is your response. This is what it's going to look like for you to live in response to the sacrificial love of Jesus. How are you going to love others with his heart as well? The table is open. Come.